This conference is a culmination of the work we have been doing over the past years in the implementation of the action plan that was signed between the government of South Sudan and the United Nations sometime in 2020. This is really a program organized by the government of South Sudan, that is the high-level ministerial committee on the implementation of the action plan to prevent and stop violations against children. Together with the National Technical Committee. The National Technical Committee comprises of all the ministries and but chaired by the National DDR Commission and the Minister of Defense, and co-chaired with the Minister of Gender and Child Welfare. And the Interministerial Committee is composed of all the ministries in South Sudan. So that's those are bodies that were set up last year. And they are the ones who have put together this conference, and we support them as the United Nations. The participants have been selected from across the country, across all the 10 states and the two administrative areas. They are flying in early this weekend, and sometime by Monday they should be all being in Juba. And really, it's the purpose is to, first of all, take stock on what has happened over the past 2 years on the issue of child protection in South Sudan. And then there will be deliberations on what to do and on the way forward. We expect to come up with a communique or recommendations on how we are going to move forward on the prevention of violations against children and the protection of children in general in South Sudan. So this is a South Sudanese effort. It's not a United Nations effort. We are merely supporting them.
All right. So, yes, it's a South Sudanese effort. So, what role is UNMISS playing in this conference?
Our role is a supportive role, providing transportation, accommodation, the hall where the meeting is going to take place, identification with facilitators, supporting them in some sectoral work. You know, the conditions we are in South Sudan are not... are not the best. So wherever they request our support and we can provide it, we do provide that to make sure that this is a success.
So there have been similar gatherings regarding protection of children here in South Sudan. How different is this likely to be?
Well, this is different because the gatherings we've had previously, we started with the soldiers from all the units, and including the opposition. We bring them to Juba. We meet with them across the country and build their capacity to preach the message of child protection. Then we came to the division commanders. We brought the division commanders, including IO and SOA, division commanders. And that culminated in the drafting of the comprehensive action plan, the work of all the security forces of South Sudan, including national security. And we came up with a document. Now we brought the military justice of all the divisions, because these are people who will be dealing with accountability from the smallest unit to the highest unit. And now we're putting it all together. Now then, I forgot one part. We brought the sultans, the chiefs from across the whole country. We had 88 chiefs in two batches of 40-40 in Juba here. So now this is how everybody, civil society organizations, representative from all the states of South Sudan, ministers, high government officials, are all going to sit together to discuss, and intellectuals, I forgot intellectuals and civil society organizations, to come up with a plan and a way forward to ensure that child protection becomes part of the DNA. And we'll have members of parliament as well. Because if you remember the president's address to the joint RTNLA in, I think it was August 30th last year, he said that it was time to start drafting laws, enacting laws, and reviewing the laws that are in existence in the, for the protection of children, child soldiers, and for ending human trafficking in South Sudan. So the thing, the whole program has a national basis, is part of the national agenda. And that's what makes it different from past gatherings.
Right. So are you able to share with us some of the current challenges facing child protection in South Sudan?
The first challenge is the conflict. If we have peace in South Sudan, all these things we're talking about will disappear. You talk about conflict related sexual violence. Just the word means conflict. If there's no conflict, then all we have is the normal criminality. Not normal, but the absurd criminality that we have all over the world. And nobody will be recruiting children because there's no purpose to have them fighting the war. Right. Nobody will be occupying the schools and hospitals or destroying them because there's no reason to do that. Nobody will be killing and maiming children deliberately because there's no for that to happen. And nobody will be denying humanitarian access because there will be freedom of movement and all that kind of stuff. So the most important thing for me and for us and the United Nations and our people of South Sudan is that there be peace, let there be no conflict.
Right.
So the challenges we have right now is the continuing conflict.
Mm-hmm.
We also have this conflict and intercommunal violence, which is not directly related to our mandate of Security Council Resolution 1612, but again, it still affects children's lives. They got displaced, their parents are killed, their mothers are killed. So those are the things that, those are the challenges that we have. And we, in the child protection, within our mandate, our hands are tied on how to deal with those issues, because those issues really fall within the realm of law enforcement. So they need the government to increase the capacity of its police or military to do disarmament. So those are the challenges. The other challenge is, of course, access. You know, South Sudan's a vast country.
Yeah.
Bigger than Uganda and Kenya and maybe Rwanda combined. Yeah, Uganda could be a county. I mean, it's one of the states in South Sudan, and Rwanda would be a county in South Sudan. So, but we don't have the same infrastructure like roads and places for aeroplanes to land. We don't even have the aeroplanes, so we rely on the United Nations to access some of those areas. So those are the challenges when we are working. And the other challenge is especially with the girls who are within the forces, like a recent experience in Maredi, that these girls are treated as wives, and sometimes very difficult to take someone from the soldiers because they have vested interest in this person, so they continue being there. I mean, that's very painful because these are people's daughters and people's children, but someone just has the power to keep them there, and the parents are helpless, the United Nations helpless, and even at times the government is helpless because they have to draw a line between maintaining peace and trying to encourage these people to join the government, and it's very challenging for us. So there are many challenges, but I think those are the outstanding ones. I mean, right. I'll talk the whole day with you about challenges and you'll be bored.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So what do you hope to see after this conference?
What I hope to see after this conference is, which we're already starting to see, that the message of child protection has gone across the whole country. I do not believe there's an area in this country that we have not touched in terms of talking about child protection. Everybody knows child protection. When our colleagues travel around the field, the moment they mention child protection, they know that at least one person among the security forces of the chiefs has attended the child protection course. So we expect the discussions to be tough, but easy. Easy in that people are enlightened, people know what's being discussed, people understand about the trends, and people are encouraged by the fact that there's been reduction in violations, and this is reported now. Our report, the Secretary General, that there has been a reduction. The only concern has been intercommunal violence, but in terms of 1612, Security Council Resolution 1612 proper, there has been a reduction, and this is because there have been joint work, collaboration between the government of South Sudan, the opposition, to working together with the United Nations to ensure that issue of violation against children are reducing in this country. Yeah.
Well, Alfred, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today. What is your final message to our listener?
My final message to our listener is that please continue working at your own level, at an individual level, at national level and the state level, to ensure that the children are protected. That's the only way for you to secure your future as South Sudanese, because the children are the future.
That's right. Alfred, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.